Well, we're going back over today to look in. We're talking about tongues is the door to the supernatural. It don't seem like we're getting toward that, but there's things that when I started into this and studying, the Lord really wanted me to deal with some areas of teaching in which we're going to go in today, dealing really with terminology and stuff that's used in the scripture. So people need to understand what they're talking about, because there's so much confusion out here today. The majority of the body of Christ, their ideas of things. You know, I was reading over some of the things other people believe and think, and it just really amazes me how much people, and this is one thing that I looked at people do, and it's all for all of us need to be very careful about this. We may have beliefs, and I found out this happens. And you look at people's, and there's sometimes they're teaching and do, they believe a certain way, so they look for scriptures that coincide with what they believe. Well, I'm just going to tell you you could find scriptures to try to back you up on a lot of different things that ain't right. They'll pull one scripture here and one scripture. People do it all the time. We're not supposed to study the Bible to try to prove our beliefs. You know, as many years ago, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me as a younger Christian. I had been saved, I was probably saved probably about 15 years or so. And, I'm still in many ways a teenager in the Lord, And a lot of people think they've been saved for 15 years or some kind of adult. Well, I found out it was. But the Lord said to me one day, why do you believe what you believe? Why? Well, out there in Maysville, in other words, I understood this. I need to go back into things and look at things. Because, see, I found out, I picked up things from people teaching, good people, not bad people trying to do something. But I found out I picked up things from people who weren't right. Sounded good what they say. They used a scripture and that stuff. But when I went over and started studying, looking at things, and I'd sit down and look, and I thought, my Lord, the Bible don't say what I believe. That's not what it's saying. Well, so it's one of the things I learned this over time is compare scripture with scripture. Most people, they have a doctrine built on one area of scripture. I'm going to tell you, if it's a doctrine, you'll find it all through scripture. It won't be some little hidden thing over here or over there. You'll find it. You'll find the doctrines. I've learned studying the Bible. It's just like, just what I'm teaching here on these areas. When going through the New Testament, there's so much said that corresponds with other things that need to be joined together. And people have their little beliefs over here and their little beliefs over there. And you got these things, but they don't sit down and compare scripture with scripture and go through it. Because sometimes it takes, I'm marvelous going through and studying. And I look and say, well, my words, they were talking about this over here to that. That fits with that, and you start to see it. Look, we need to understand about this is, the Bible's not one or two subjects. And see, I saw that when I came into the kingdom, it was sort of divided up into groups. We had the faith people, and they were just, teaching faith, which is good. God was emphasized because the church had left it. And they were teaching on the areas of finances because a lot of the church world didn't believe God. And even today, people are sitting there, the Christians' bellies are full and they got all kind of stuff and things like that, and they knock the prosperity message. I've never seen anything so stupid in my life. Amazing. They're sitting around doing good and I don't believe in this prosperity stuff. Well, I hope somebody robs you tomorrow and takes all your money and everything, gets into your bank account and you lose it all. We'll see what you think about that. It's like people are just downright fools and foolish. That's what they are. They don't think two minutes about what they do. Hallelujah. I've never seen a minister turn around who knocked finances and then didn't send out an offering plate or didn't talk about the money they needed. It's like, well, you see, we need to understand these things. Because with people, but you know what? I can go to those people. They'll pull certain scriptures out to back what they believe. Yet they're not living that. But they'll find stuff, They'll talk, they'll find things about somebody as a cheat and a crook, and so they'll put it over there. You can find all kind of stuff in scripture. But sitting down and studying scripture, bringing it in line, and this is one of the things that we're doing here, is we're laying this groundwork, is we need to know what the Bible's saying. I realize more and more as I have grown in the Word of God, is something that Kenneth Hagin had taught back when I first started off. He said, When you go to Scripture, he said, use scriptural terms. Don't make up new terms. He said, because when you go to the Bible, or we send people to the Bible, they're going to look for what you said. And if you talk other stuff, they ain't going to be able to find it. See, this is why you need some port. See, we have a lot of new religious slang today. And you know what? It ain't, and the slang don't really mean what the Bible's saying. It don't have the idea. You know, when people don't study scriptures, it's just like if you go over to John the 7th chapter, you'll find John the 7th chapter. You know, people, well, God so loved the world that gave his only begotten son. And, you know, it's true, it's true scripture. And it says God didn't send his son in the world to condemn the world. And the scripture, people stop there. See, God's not condemning people. No, he's not. He's already done that. Every man's already been judged. You read the next verse and it says, you know, those who don't believe are already condemned. That word condemned means judged. See, judgment was already set on you and me. I was not judged by God, judged by Jesus Christ. Why? Jesus came didn't to judge me. He was trying to get me out from under the judgment that was against me. My sentence was set. Judgment means this. A criminal is not judged till he's sentenced. They can say he's guilty, but he's not. Till he is sentenced, he is judged for the punishment of what it is. You and I had set against us a judgment of eternal damnation. That was already set. Jesus came to relieve men of that judgment. That judgment had to be carried out. And it was against him. See, if Our Lady of Liberty, you know, justice, you know, the blind justice thing, if it was like the Bible, nobody would be set free and nobody gets punished for committing a crime. That's only called crazy Christianity. God couldn't turn around and say to people, no, I'm just going to forgive everybody. If he could have done that, why wouldn't he have done it? Why? Because there must be a penalty paid for wrongdoing. And you know what? Good justice system happens that way. Somebody had to pay. If you're going to let somebody off under God's eyes, you better punish somebody else for it. Somebody needs to go to prison for it. Or justice has not been carried out. Well, it's a little different, ain't it? If you can do it that way, why didn't God do it that way? Why would he have to send Jesus? Just forgive. I forgive everybody. He couldn't. Why? Because God is just. He's righteous. It's the way he is. You don't think if there's a way that he wouldn't have had to send his son, he'd have done it? No. Because of who and what he is why he did what he did. God changes not. God changes not. See, we need to understand this. God's a God, he's righteous. You know, when we take a person over and somebody murders a person and that family loses a person and then somebody gets off the hook, there's no more evil thing that somebody does. I'm going to tell you what, every homosexual is a whole lot better than that kind of justice. We have that in our country and we turn around and knock other people about their sins. I'm going to tell you, we have no justice in America. And we talk about sin and the church is behind a lot of it. There needs to be justice. That's why Paul wrote to the church at Rome about the Roman government. He told them, you know, what's the government do? They're supposed to punish a person so severely that they're afraid to do wrong again.
That's right. Amen.
They didn't say, rehabilitate them. They did. They rehabilitate them. Next time you're in here, you're a dead man. That's a rehabilitation. We'll get that. We'll understand. You do things, we're going to make life such hell for you, you'll want to get out of here and stay out. I worked in a prison system. You don't have 86% return rate because there's justice going on.
That's right.
I watched rehabilitation. Whoever got rehabilitated, it was the staff. Because the people in the jail, they got nothing. They were the same person when they left and when he came back, and it was the same darn thing on them. The staff got tormented. We were the ones that got punished, having to watch them and doing their evil stuff all the time and do things. That's what it was. That's good preaching. That's good preaching. Now, people, Jack, go back to jail. I know this, they learned nothing. They didn't learn a thing. Hallelujah. My God, we had more justice go on in my home than they do in the prison system. Mom and I were the judge and the jury. You better have a good testimony to get away with. I'll tell you. Glory to God. We're going to go over today. We're looking in an area, though, because we'll look at two areas that deal with salvation, but also deal with the term water, because we need to deal with this. It's amazing. Some of the things I've read at people in ministries, and I mean, they're good people, but their ideas of things about the Scriptures and what the Scripture says. And we need to look at these, because if we can't rightly divide things, I want people to get filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to move with the Spirit in the church again. Amen. You see, that was the charismatic renewal was by God's move in the church. He was getting Christians of all these groups that believed all this different stuff, and they weren't getting filled with the Holy Ghost. See, God wanted power in the church, and that's what He wants today. Power in the church, but Christians are powerless. They're sitting around and waiting for God to do something. You know, talking about, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and waiting for power. What on earth? You know, it's like going hunting. You got a gun and you don't use it. See, well, the rabbit didn't fall over. What happened to it? I don't understand. I talked to him and told him that's what I wanted. You know, I made a confession. Pull the gun. Get the gun up and pull the trigger. Or just go home and sit down. Have a hamburger. We want to look at this because in John, we're going to do John the 3rd chapter, and we're going to read something in the 4th chapter. But John the 3rd chapter, it's interesting. I always find this with Scripture as you study and find out, gee, God had a little system here. He put two different things dealing with salvation, but gave two different types of illustrations, which is really good. It gives us a good idea about things, how terminologies are used by the Lord Himself. And these are things dealing with Jesus and dealing with people. And we're going to find this out. There's two different people, and Jesus deals with them completely different. And this is why, you know, ministering to people, you just don't go to class and here's how you do it. They'll give you this little chart. I'm sorry. That ain't how it works. Doesn't work. As many as are led by the Spirit, because you're dealing with different types of people. And you're dealing with people. God deals with some people completely different than He does with other people. And you have to understand that. This is where that, you gotta be led by the Spirit. You gotta be led by the Spirit. And so, you know, I found out that ministers, and I, you know, in talking to ministers and that stuff in different areas, you'll find out, especially traveling ministers find this out. You go to different places, your messages will be different for one area than another area. You can preach basically the same subject to sermon, but it'll be different from one place to the other. Why? Because God knows people and the spirits of an area and that stuff and ministers to people. He's not generic. God's not some, you can close Him over to this little thing. That's what the church, every group we try to build God into our little section here. And it's not like it. See, I found out the charismatic renewal, God, how He ministered to different people. During in full gospel, I really noticed that, because you'd get sometimes crowds would be in numbers of different people, backgrounds of churches and stuff and things. God would minister to people. And he just know what to do with that, you know. And sometimes I found out, you know, I'd be ministering, and you know, you'd be praying with somebody, and all of a sudden, you just get, no, let's go this other direction with this person, and you just pick up things like that. God knowing how to get to that person, you know. I found out that, and people need to notice. One of the problems we have right now is the spiritual people are one of the hardest groups to minister to, because they think they know. They think they're smart. Now, I'm in the group, so let's throw rocks. We need to understand this. We're dealing with people. And we need to know that people have backgrounds and ways of thinking, and you can go on your ways and think, you know, a certain way and that stuff, and be worse off than they are. And so, we're not doing just some religious thing. It's like Brother Hagin talked about getting rid of religious stuff. God dealt with him concerning the move of God. And he said the hardest time he had getting rid of things, he said, was the Pentecostal tradition. He said it was the hardest thing to get away from. Isn't that amazing? So you'd think it'd been the Baptist stuff that he came out of. He said, nah, the Pentecostal. Wow, they're brilliance. You know, we know. The only reason we know anything is because of God. It ain't because we're bright. Let's get over ourselves. Because if it went on bright, oh, dear Lord. Man, I wouldn't have got out of first grade in Christianity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God turned on the light. But we want to look at God in John, the third chapter. We're going to look at the Gospel of John, third chapter. And we're going to start verse 1. Deals with a guy here. He says, there was a man of the Pharisees whose name was Nicodemus. He's the ruler of the Jews. So this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God's with him. Now he is, in fact, he's one of the leaders with the Pharisees. You find out about this man. If you go over in the seventh chapter, John mentions about him in there with the leaders of the Pharisees. Nicodemus. He's mentioned three times in the book of John. And so, but we need to know this guy. So another, he says this. So we can find out. You're going to find out God, here we're dealing with people. We want to see this. This Nicodemus here, he makes this statement. He's one of the leaders of the Pharisees, and he says this. We know. Who's the we? The Pharisees. Boy, don't they get along good with Jesus and they just try to help him along? And he said, we know that you're a teacher sent from God. Nobody can do the things. Yet they're the ones that says, oh, he does it by the devil. They were lying and knew it. Don't think people don't do that today. Amen. I've been around Christians that know the truth. And they will say, oh, no, this isn't right or that isn't right. I know Christians around. There's Christians around that know the baptism of the Holy Spirit for today. But their doctrine of their group, they say, we don't believe that. No, you know it's true. People know it's true. I knew a minister one time, he got filled with the Holy Ghost, and he said he would never introduce it to his church because his denomination didn't believe it. Because he said, if I do and I live this thing out, now he'd do it. He got filled with the Holy Ghost, but he wouldn't walk in the light ever living because he said, I'll lose my retirement. I don't throw rocks at him. There's a lot of spirit-filled people. Let me tell you, their money means more to them. Their retirements and everything else mean more to them than walking in the light. So we ain't going to throw rocks at him. What would you do if your retirement might keep on, you keep your mouth shut? Well, you better talk to the Lord about that. Well, this, you know, that's why we won't throw a rock at him, do we? I mean, people have to decide. You come down and decide. I've had to come down along the line sometimes and make decisions, and you have to decide, what am I going to do? Because, you know, am I going to stand up for Jesus? You know, I might lose out on a deal if I do. And I just, well, and along the way in that stuff, I've lost out being around groups, standing up, walking with the Lord, and they don't become happy with you anymore, and you're going to have to go on. Been there, done that. You have to see, because everybody, you know, there's one thing about it. It's like Randy Greer was told by the Lord. He sent Randy to this group to, he's trying to get things changed around, and the leaders won't listen. Spirit-filled leaders, they won't listen. God's speaking. And the Lord said to him, I never sent you to them to get hooked up with them. He said, I sent you to them to tell them what to do, because he said, if you got hooked up with them, you'd never fulfill my plan and purpose for your life. Because why? They weren't fulfilling the plan and purpose of God for their life, so you can't go there and do it with them. Amen. Well, see, that's me. I realized I couldn't fulfill the plan and purpose God had for me. You know, I would never be able to teach on the level that I could teach if I stayed with them. I could have never done it. See, there's things you got to come out of sometimes.
Amen.
Sometimes there's things you need to go into to fulfill. If you want to, you got to. And this is what we find out. This, you know, and now the people I come out, they you know, they love the Lord of what they know, but they sort of got to a place where this is where we're at. And nobody's going any further. Like we all know and say, boy, don't you think things would work better if we all knew? See, I come to the place, I'm just like that. Well, it ain't working good. There's something that I don't know. You know, there's things I don't know. See, there's things me going through things. If I'm becoming impatient and I'm having problems and struggle, hold it. What's going on with me that I can't stand right? I know about faith walking. I know about, you know, I got to walk in love and I got to do things and I got, what is it? What is it that I'm struggling at this? Why am I struggling at this? You might have natural things, but you have to learn to know when you're struggling something on the inside and you're struggling something on the outside. Why is it something ain't latching up here with me? Hallelujah. Because, you know, and I found out, when you get over and find out and get the fix, you know what? Everything gets good again. The situation may have not changed, but you have. Glory to God. And, you know, I get over and I found out I needed a lot of changes along the line. So I could turn around and be at peace and rest because just know this, folks. You're at peace and rest. You can really deal with a lot of stuff.
Amen.
You can really deal with terrific things that you can walk through if you do that. There isn't nothing having a fight on the inside and one on the outside, too. That's a rough spot. Now, I know I'm the only guy that's ever been there, but I've had to fight on the inside, the outside, till I got the fight on the inside fixed. and then you get at rest and say, okay, yeah, I can go through this. I can deal with this. I can do it. Hallelujah. That's good preaching. See, that was all free. Hallelujah. We won't charge you for that. Hallelujah. But we're looking at this Nicodemus guy. So if they know something, says Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. I really like the way as Jesus. Now this is one thing it's ministry by. This guy comes, he's buttering Jesus up. You know, he comes, hey look, we know you're a teacher of God, we know this. And what does Jesus do? Boom. He doesn't even talk on the subject he's headed for. Jesus just turns around and bluntly says to him, Jesus answered and said to him, now what did he say? We know you're a teacher sent from God, because, you know, you can't do the things unless God with you. And Jesus turned around and said, most assuredly I say to you, I'm talking to you now, unless one is born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. Wow, that was just a point blank, you know. Jesus pulled out the gun and pulled the trigger. But see, understand that Jesus is not being mean. Jesus is dealing with a leader here. See, everybody wants to be leaders. You'll find out this. If you are a real leader, God's going to be point blank with you about this. That's why he deals with them. See, I learned that about me. I will guarantee you, most God won't deal with you in the same manner he does with me. There's an expectation. And he should, because of the gift I stand under. There's things about my gift that things come out, and things are because of what I see, because of the gift, not because Ed's smart or Ed knows. It's the gift. And he has an expectation that I should know some things and should walk in some things. And he's right. He should. He doesn't have the same expectation most of you. He don't have that same expectation. And it would be wrong for him to have it. It wouldn't be the right thing to do. God's righteous. He's right. This guy's a leader when he talks point blank at. See, this is one thing. This is why we have so many bad leaders in the church world. It's because the leaders always butter each other. And nobody stopped and said, hey, straighten out. You need to get... Why? Because most of them ain't real good leaders at all. Because why? If they try to straighten somebody out, God will probably try to straighten them out. I'm not going to be judged. I'm not going to judge so I don't get judged. Don't worry, you will be. Whether you want it or not, you'll get judged. Now, God doesn't judge you to kill you. He judges you to get things right. He wants to bless you. Especially, if you feel God's leading you to leadership, then you would want to think, you want to be blessed because that's where the blessing comes. You know, it don't start at the bottom and go up. It's not the kingdom. It comes down. Jesus didn't come up from hell to redeem us.
That's right.
He came down. And so, and it's the same way. So, you know, that's why Jesus said, you don't get any further than your teachers. So your ministers should be standing in a higher place. We need stricter judgment that goes on in these areas. This is why before the move of God comes, there's a number of them are going to leave this earth. Now, they ain't going to go down. They're going to heaven. But they need to leave to set things in order. They're not dealing with things. This is good things, folks. This is good. It's not going to hurt the world or the church, but it hurts people in the move of God. And we need to understand this. These things need to be straightened out. You know? Thank God. God's honest. Hallelujah. But He's not out to hurt anybody. God's in the business of helping people. And He's very tolerant of people who block the way. It's amazing how long He lets people get away with what they do. He is so long-suffering. Dear God, long-suffering. It's amazing. But you know what? His bottom line is, He's going to get what He wants out of this thing. He still is God. We don't block Him in our little corner because of our little confessions. He's still God. Thank God He is. I need somebody brighter than me. Mm-hmm. I need somebody who knows more than I do. Glory to God. Well, we go along. He throws this right back out at him. And Nicodemus said to him, in verse 4, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? Jesus answered, most surely I say to you, unless as one is born of the water and the Spirit, he can't see enter the kingdom of God. See, now all of a sudden, Jesus makes a statement, be born again. Now, He's directing this at this guy. This guy turns around and says, well, how can this be? Now, see, I know even some translations go to say, well, born from above. That's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says, because Nicodemus is answered, born again. In other words, Nicodemus is thinking of a birth, a woman, and that's what Jesus was talking about. There's a new birth. But Nicodemus, why? Here he is. He's a leader of the Jews and doesn't understand. They didn't understand this, is the fact. They didn't understand what the law, if the law is the schoolmaster to lead to Christ, Christ is the Messiah. They didn't really understand what the law, they didn't have a good understanding of the law. If they really understood the law, they would have known that they need a redeemer. They didn't. They thought, we're doing the law, we're good. They didn't see that the law couldn't save you. Why did Jesus? See, animal blood, God allowed us out of a dumb animal, He had blood for Israel, and He would do, for 1 year, God allowed it to cover their sin. He didn't allow it to cover their sin because animal blood worked. He did it because animals were dumb. In other words, an animal is not conscious of sin or wrongdoing. They're not there. See, we only do that today in America. If you're in America, animals are really smart and really, they're geniuses. You know, they got colleges and medical schools and everything, you know, because y'all, they're as bright as people are. You know, you get people just as dumb as a stick. But you know, he did was a dumb animal. And what it was to just show, we need to understand this. See, Jesus is called the Lamb of God, but you need to understand this. There needed to be human blood for a sacrifice, and there was nobody that qualified. The human is above all. And it required a perfect human to give His blood to redeem man. That was the requirement. And Jesus Christ was the only one that could do the power of the perfect human. See, the power that Jesus Christ had, nobody else had to do. You couldn't be paid. He could have been as dead as anything you want on that cross. Till that blood was taken in the holies of heaven, you got nothing. You weren't saved at the resurrection. The blood, that perfect blood had to go to payment where the Father is. Up there, we're into the holies of heaven and go in there to that mercy seat where God is said, and that paid mercy for all of us. And it required a human's blood. So we know this. Jesus had to die as a human. He didn't die as God. He didn't, and none of that. He wasn't raised as God. He was raised as a glorified man. That's why you'll get a glorified body. If He was raised because He was God, you ain't getting nothing. Amen. We have so much mixed up crazy stuff in the churches being taught, people's ideas. Hallelujah. Jesus saved me as a man. Glory to God. He's my champion. Hallelujah. Oh, he's God. He's seated. But you know what I'm in? I'm a man and I'm in him.
Amen.
Woo! You couldn't be in him if he ain't a man. He's man. He's a glorified man. Glory to God. And you're in that glorified man, and that glorified man's God. See, well, how do you do that? I don't know, don't care. Bible says it, and it works. Glory to God. It doesn't matter how it's done. It matters whether it works. Hallelujah, and it works. This glorified man. Well, see, they didn't understand this. He's there saying, in other words, you need a spiritual change. He didn't realize Nicodemus ain't spiritual. He's a leader. But you know what? He's hungry. I mean, he recognizes something. At least he's going for it. Got to give him that. He's going for it. Well, and Jesus is, you know, talking to him. How can I go in the womb a second time? How can I do this? When Jesus made this statement, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he can't come to the kingdom of God. I've heard more teachings about what water means here than you can shake a stick at. I've listened to ministers, Spirit-filled ministers, have pretty big names. You know, this water here is talking about the water of a woman when a child's born into the earth and then the water breaks and that. See, you have to be born into the earth first, then you can be born again. Is that what Jesus is talking? That'd be stupid. But people have all kind of ideas, you know. People say, yeah, water is spirit. You know, got water baptized, you know, and all that, to be saved. See, you get people, they go into this thing. We need to understand, he wasn't talking about nothing natural here. Why? Because Nicodemus is over on the natural side, and Jesus is trying to explain to him, that ain't working. So, Jesus is talking about something spiritual, and I want to look at this, because see, there's scriptures, and this is what in Ephesians 5:26, I'm going to read that to you. It says, here it's talking about, in Ephesians 5, it's talking about the husband and wife, and then Paul writes concerning Christ and the church, and he says that he, this is Christ, might sanctify and cleanse her, which is the church. How? With the washing of the water by the word. The washing. Do you know you're clean by the word? You got born again by the word. Faith in the word is what cleansed you. Is how you believed in it and confessed in Christ, you were cleansed. The word. See, Jesus is the Word of God. You can't believe in Jesus and not the Word. The Word is a cleansing agent. Also, we have Titus said, and Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. See, you got born again. When you believed on Christ, the Holy Spirit baptized you into Christ. See, this washing and cleansing has nothing to do with water baptism. It ain't got a thing in the world. Water baptism cannot save at all. It can't save at all. Water baptism is done when a person is saved. If they ain't saved and you water baptize them, you can hold them under for a week. It don't matter. You can do whatever you want. They is what they is. That's it. They're just as dead spiritually. It doesn't matter. Water baptism. But you see, people read these things and they read all kinds of things into them. It's not what it's talking about. That's why it's reading it. What are they really trying to say? Because Jesus in verse 6 says this, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. See, you can't tie the two of them together. He's telling this guy, he's talking about a natural birth. He said, I'm talking about something spiritual. I'm talking here spiritual that you need. See, the law was designed to show man that he needed something, but the natural, all the sacrifice, all the natural things they did never changed the man. He was still the dead sinner with the judgment of God on him. Every one of them. Every Jew had the judgment of God on them. Even though the ones that believed went down to this holding place down there, Abraham's bosom, they could never go further than that. They were never getting to heaven. They couldn't get there. Why? You had to be born again. There needed to be a spiritual change. Well, see, one thing you can learn from the law, there's no way to fix yourself. You sit down and read the law. See, I'm going to follow. Do you ever sit down and read all the do's and the don'ts in the law and all the things you got to do down there? I mean, how do you remember all that? I mean, I can't put that many things in my day timer on my phone to remind me to do all this stuff. I mean, every morning I'd get, oh, do this, oh my God, all of this and all of this and, you know, do my rosary beads and Hail Marys and whatever. Let's do all this stuff. Everybody, you know, this is how we do to make this thing work. Well, we needed to have something work for us that we couldn't work. But somebody else had to do it for us. But you know, it wasn't enough to have somebody else do it for us. God made a way that the one who did it for us, we get the credit through faith as if we've done it. There's nothing else like that. See, this is a hard thing for people because what do you compare in this world? You know, if I go along, you know, and somebody, you know, got really rich and made millions of dollars and turned around and gave me the million. Now, am I the million I could spend and do it? But I'd never become the guy who earned the millions.
That's right.
That's not Christ. Christ is if you did it. You have credit as if you did it. As if you died on the cross and you were judged in hell. God put on Christ the sin of the entire world. Just people stand today and their judgment was carried. Jesus carried it out and took the judgment for all, and they're walking around under their sin today. And until they receive Christ, the judgment stands against them. Yet they can come out from, aren't you glad you came out from under that? Aren't you so glad? You know, it is so simple. It's by faith and believing in what He did. This is what people struggle with. The struggle is of faith because we're generally works. We're generally performers. God gave us the ability to operate under through Him, that His power will work in us so we can perform. But we don't do none of that for salvation. You don't get that for pats on the back. You don't get an extra paycheck. Your salvation is completely paid for. That's a hard thing to believe. It's a hard thing for people to believe that somebody get to heaven, like, you know, and see somebody come and arrive in heaven and the guy yelling, my God, I made it. I made it here. I made it. Oh, the preachers down here that, you know, the really sticklers, I mean, that never happened. No. You don't know God. They have their religious ideas about God and how it works. You know, he didn't have any good works. How could he get to heaven? Oh, but it's by faith. It's amazing. It's like one minister said, he said, you know, get to heaven. He said, one morning he said, you get to heaven, you're going to be surprised who you see there. Number two, you're going to be surprised who you don't see there. And then you're going to be surprised you're there. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But Jesus in verse 7 says, Nicodemus, don't marvel that I said this to you. You must be born again. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? You see, he's stuck over here in the natural, these things. He hasn't got it. Jesus answered and said to him, are you a teacher of Israel and you don't know these things? You see the trouble that Israel's in? This down in Judea, they're a real religious bunch. The people are fighting, if you read over the thing, to stay in the synagogue. They don't want to believe on Jesus. You'll get kicked out of the synagogue. They're staying in the place of ignorance. Oh, I watch people today. They'll stay in the ignorant church as much as they can. And they'll say, yeah, and I'm believing God and I'm this. Well, I go there because my family's there. And it's more important to stay ignorant than it is to grow up.
Amen.
See, this is why we got to watch who we criticize about this. Because people still doing it. People still do the things. See, they did it. This guy, here he is. He's the leader. He's one of the teachers. He said, you're a teacher. In other words, he's teaching people. Jesus said, you're a teacher, and I'm saying this. He said, most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we've seen, and you do not receive our witness. He said, if I've told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? This guy's downright, Jesus was very kind to him and just told him, you don't know nothing. You're the teacher of Israel. Now, you can go on to this, you know, you'd go on and read this, and what we would do, we go on there, well, God so loved the world, because later on it said down, 16, you know, we go on down through here, and all those things are reading, and people do. It would be good if they'd read these things and see these things before. What's Jesus saying to this guy? What he's telling? See, they ought to teach more ministers on this. The ministers always take a taste of salvation. No, it teaches how God deals with the minister. Sure, it's about salvation. It's God dealing with the minister. About teaching. See, I saw this a long time ago. Because why? God showed me I need dealt with. you don't want to be dumb. This guy, Jesus ends up with the talk. And this is the one Jesus went on. God so loved the world, he sent his son. Jesus is going down here. In other words, Jesus is saying, you should know this stuff. You should, you're a teacher. See, they weren't, they didn't know this stuff. Why didn't they know this stuff? Because it was more important for them to be in power than it was to learn. They didn't know. They thought the people were stupid, and they didn't realize the people were stupid because they were stupid. That's kids in schools today. The reason they're stupid is because of their teachers and their administrations. And I don't care what anybody else says about it. Somebody said, well, this person's a good teacher. Well, if they're a good teacher, then stand up and teach whether what they say or not. If you really like the kids, or no, it's just a job. Well, if it's a job, then quit your complaining, and you're not a good teacher. Now, people not like to hear that. I would not be a good teacher if I do things because, well, the people might not like this, or then, you know, this is the system. Oh, you could lose your job doing this. Well, I'm sorry. I don't work for people. My head boss is above all bosses. I say, what people want? Well, I don't know. That people want all kind of stuff. Man, I wanted all kind of stuff. Still do sometimes. Hallelujah. But see, we learn from this. So Jesus is talking about this. So we see the terminologies here, though, was talking about the being born again, was talking about what it is. Man needed a supernatural change, but it dealt with the water and the Spirit. Well, we look before in these things. Well, there's a baptism that goes on. It's through the Word. Through the Word, we're born again. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Why is Jesus saying these things to this man? He's giving him the Word. Faith comes by hearing the Word. You tell him the truth of what he needs. He didn't recognize. He's giving him the truth. This is not to hurt him. He needs corrected. He needs corrected concerning his theology. And Jesus is telling him what he needs. Faith comes by hearing the word. This guy is not a bad guy, is number one, because when Jesus is crucified and taken off the cross, he's a guy down there getting the spices and the herbs to take over to help bury him. See, he became a follower. Why? He took the time. He didn't listen to the rest of the Pharisees. He went down to talk to Jesus. See, if you go over and you look further into this, when he was Jesus in chapter 7, you know, they wanted to arrest Jesus, and he made mention about that. He said to the other Pharisees, he said, well, do we judge a man without listening to what he says? And they said, well, you know, or we have followers among us that are going to follow him. In other words, hold it. So, in other words, he's bucking the system. He is believing things. He's bucking. Why? If you listen, faith comes by hearing. If you won't listen, you can't get faith. You never have faith to be healed. You won't take time to sit down and listen to teaching and stuff like that. You never. Just forget it. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by things. You need to. People don't want to listen to salvation teaching. Don't be surprised they don't get saved. Faith comes by hearing. He talks to him. Well, we know what Jesus said to him and went on to him about salvation. It struck him. Because this guy's in the game. Hallelujah. Thank God he didn't come along and, but yeah, you're doing your best. And he did. He was very blunt with him, told him, and you know what? Faith came to the man of RSA. So hallelujah. So this is dealing with salvation. So salvation deals really with the Word and with the Spirit. We need to understand that. So when we look in there and he's used as a term of word, we're going to look at another one in John 4th chapter, and which I really like here, because here's another person Jesus deals with in a completely different way, but had great success. And you know what? Got further with this person than he got with Nicodemus, who was a teacher of the Jew, and this woman is a Samaritan. They worship God on Mount Gerizim. And he gets further with her than he got with Nicodemus at first. It's amazing. But we want to see it. Now, in John 4 chapter, we're going to look at start verse 7. It says, a woman of Samaria came to draw. It says, Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." In verse 8 says, "For his disciples had gone away into the city to get food." He said, "Then the woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.' Jesus answered and said to her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him and he'd have given you living water.'" You see how his response is to her? I mean, he just turns right around, and she, because she makes a statement. This is a big thing. This is the culture she's under. Jews didn't deal with Samaritans. See, you had, if you look on a map, you have Judea down here, you have Samaria, it's an area. There was a city of Samaria, but it's the region is named Samaria. And the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. Because see, they're here, they worship God, you know, on this other mountain. They have a combination between Judaism. If you go back and read the history of how it came out like that, you can go back and find out how it came out that way. Is a actual priest of God who was in the temple of God under Nehemiah turned around and married a woman who was under a guy who lived in that area and married. And this guy said, "Look, if you go over here and you come to us, you know, we'll build a temple for you. You can be the head priest there." And the guy went. So he did Judaism stuff there, but he did it as rebellion, really. And they had a way of worshiping. So, but this woman here, Jesus is just really, he's straight for her. He, you know, if you knew who you were talking to, you do this. Water. Now, is he talking about water baptism? He's talking about drinking. See, we go, there's things in scripture, this is what we need to understand, because we deal with things on these of drinking. You can go into a number of things in scripture. You know, the Bible, where he spoke as a drink, it talks about the Spirit as being a wine. And in those things. This is why people need to be very careful. Just because you see a certain word used, you know, get out of your natural thinking. How does it fit in the terminology of the Bible as you get over there? He said, "You needed a drink." Now he's referring to her for salvation. He's talking about a drink. You see, we need to understand this is really when you receive the word, the Bible though does consider it's like a drink. You're drinking something. See, spiritually, we look at it from the natural. Well, naturally, but guys, we're not dealing with natural. You're a spirit man. The Bible talks about the feeding of the inner man. You know, we don't, we have this too much natural thinking. They use natural things, but it is to explain something spiritually. So you have to take it over and apply it spiritually, not in the natural. It's not naturally what you do. Well, the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, that the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become to him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Now you see, she did exactly what Nicodemus did. She looked at the natural water doing it. She said, "This well's deep." They say that well is today is about 75 feet deep. That well still exists, about 75 feet. It's a deep well. But all the years from Jacob on up, that thing still today produces water. That well. But, so she got over right over in the natural. And Jesus then took her and took her back over. He said, is showing her, and then no, I'm going to give you water to drink so you never thirst again. So he's trying to lead her over in the area. You know, understand, this is a woman, this is Samaritan. They don't deal with, Jews don't deal with Samaritans. They don't. Now, number two, it's a woman. Enough that they wouldn't deal with another Samaritan man, but talk to a woman? No way. Here Jesus is. Jesus has really jumped across a religious barrier. Why? Well, number one, it's not that Jesus is Mr. Bright. Jesus is a man. And he, by the Holy Spirit, knows things. So the Holy, just like you, reveals things. See, this is why you got to be led by the Spirit. If Jesus had to be led by the Spirit to know how to minister to people, you will too. It's not going to be some canned thing. So he knows. So he goes, and this woman, she's shocked. He does. What is Jesus? He don't get into the thing at all. He immediately tells, I want to give you something. Now this to her, I'm sure was very curious. Hold it. He isn't telling me what a scumbag I am. He isn't, I'm a Jew and you, low life you, you ought to be glad I even show up. I'll tell you. Just he doesn't. I want to give you something. See, if you knew who you were talking to, you could ask for something. I'd give you something real good. Now I'm going to tell you what, he would definitely got thrown under the bus if the Pharisees were there and heard that. But he was safe. They ain't going up into Samaria. See, you know, I'm just going to tell you what. Jesus' ministry in Samaria and Galilee were far greater than his ministry in Judea is the place of death. It's religion. Most of Jesus' miracles were done in Galilee. Jesus did a lot of, Jesus didn't do a whole bunch of miracles and all kind of stuff down in Judea. Wow, that's the place of death. That's the down there with that group that killed all the prophets. They ain't quit. Religious people are still knocking them off. Well, see, that's what religion, see, we got to see this. If you don't understand this, you need to get a hold of this. See, the Pharisees were the word people of the day. But see, they got religious concerning the word. The word wasn't life. It didn't minister. It just ministered laws and rules and things to them. It didn't bring life. It didn't show light down the end of the tunnel. Yet we have, you know, there's people who were around him. Just think of the people who recognized who Jesus was, and they were nobodies religiously. But yet they could see. Why? The greatest blinder that you will ever have is religion. Greatest blinder. It's the greatest blinder. The hardest people to reach are always religious people. They're the hardest. They are ingrained in their religious beliefs. And see, you're not allowed to touch them because if you do, they're wrong. And they can never be wrong. Religion never allows you to be wrong. It's a hard place. I'm glad to be out of it because, man, I was wrong a lot. And as I grew up spiritually, I was wrong a lot. I had to keep learning and learning and learning. And you have to find that out. And that's a hard thing for religion, you know. We got our 20 things listed here. And you're either in my 20 things or we don't know about you. So, anyhow. This woman, verse 13, says to Jesus, says to him, Sir, give me the water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, Go call your husband and come here. Now see, this is a gift, this is a manifestation of the gift of the Spirit. Jesus didn't walk around with this in his pocket. You need to understand that. You know what? There's nobody has gifts of the Spirit. Not one person has them. Now most of the church, Spirit-filled church, don't have it. We have manifestations of them, but we don't have, the Holy Spirit has the gifts. You don't. You never have the gift. He just manifests. That's why you go over and read 1 Corinthians 12. It talks about the manifestation of the gift. You and I get I get manifestations of gifts. I don't own one of them. I don't have them. But they only manifest as the Spirit wills. The Spirit has the gift. The church don't. I taught gifts of the Spirit in Bible school, and hardly ever ran into a student that was taught right. sitting in spirit-filled churches. Why? We're told things. No, these are manifestations. Because, see, we like it. Well, I got this gift. See, I'm special. You know, come and pat me. You know, I'm no. And I want you to understand this. They operate. Any person could have any manifestation of the Spirit in their life. We don't limit yourself. God may use you a little more in a certain area or something and manifest certain things in a certain area. But I'm just going to tell you, I've had every gift of the Spirit operate through me one time or another. Some of them, hardly ever. I mean, but there was manifestations of it. And hardly ever. Seen miracles. And they were miracles. They were outside the ordinary course of nature. And I'm going to tell you what, I didn't have it. It manifested. Surprised me as much as it did. Why? Because it's a manifestation of God's gift. See, you need to be in awe all the time of God's moving. That, my God. See, I'm just amazed he manifests through me. It's just something else. I, you know, it's like, my God, he must be merciful. No, but you know why he does it? He wants to bless somebody else. And it ain't because you're wonderful. I've watched people who really have not spiritually were pretty lean in their spiritual life. But they would yield to gifts and God would manifest gifts through them. But it was to bless other people and other people got blessed through them. People got blessed through them. Because they would yield the gift. They'd yield to it. Many times people have a gift trying to yield to it, but they just ignore it and keep pushing it off. Why? Because it doesn't seem reasonable. Now, just like with Jesus, you say this, he goes, hey, tell your husband to come here. He knows the answer. The woman ain't got a husband. But see, the whole thing, he didn't visit her. He didn't know her. See, the opportunity that comes to you. Tell this woman to bring her husband and she ain't got one. Say, I don't know if she has a husband or not. I've had the kind of thing. I've had the Lord tell me to ask a person a certain thing, and it stops me because I think, I don't know. Is this going to be right? Well, it's learning to know, looking on the inside, don't look in the outside. See, my mind says, are you going to say that? What if this don't work out? Right. Well, then they know I make mistakes sometimes. Ain't that something? We don't want anybody to know that about us, do we? They're going to find out I ain't perfect. Oh, my God. So if they ain't figured that out by now, they're so stupid, they wouldn't know what I said. Jesus tells you, she said, I have no husband in verse 17. He said, you have said well, I have no husband. Then he makes this statement, oh, Jesus hasn't been there with her. He hasn't been this. This is a gift of the Holy Ghost, just like can operate through any person. You can know things. This is a word of knowledge. You know things. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge comes. You know things. There's times I just know stuff. I know things and I stop. I've learned all the time to be able to yield to them much easier. I find this out. It has helped me in my prayer life many times. The word of knowledge has come to me to know how to pray for an individual. All of a sudden I'll know something about that person. So, and I realize it's to use it. That knowledge don't come to knock somebody in. It's, I can pray about that thing. I know what's going on there. I know what's happening there. Because why? Naturally I didn't. Naturally, we see a manifestation of something, but many times we don't know what causes it. Numbers of things could cause a similar manifestation. And so, understand, I know, word of knowledge. See, this is why you want to hear that. I'll guarantee you many times things come to you, and I know myself to learning this over the years, things come to me and I find out later, that's God trying to get a hold of me on that. That's exactly what he was trying to show me. He was trying to show me that. It came to me. I got over there praying and I'm thinking, well, I'm praying about this. Why does this keep coming to me? Why does that keep? It ain't like, you know, check the coffee pot. Make sure it's all right. It's turned off. You know, that ain't a word of knowledge. That's to get you to quit praying. Go out and make sure you lock the car. You know. hallelujah. So Jesus told her she had five husbands. He said, the guy you got now, he ain't married to him. And he said, in that, he said, you truly spoke. He said, verse 19, he said, the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Now, isn't this interesting? Did Nicodemus perceive? Jesus did a supernatural thing in talking to him about something. I want to say, this moment's remarkable. She perceived something. Hold it. He knows things. I don't know. And I didn't tell him, so he don't know. There's things he understands. You see, if you find out the Jews did to Nicodemus in chapter 7, is the fact you're saying, there's nowhere in the scripture says a prophet comes out of Galilee. You know, shut him down on this thing, on this prophet thing. Because see, people were believing he was a prophet. He was. Here we go over to Samaria. He hadn't been over there preaching in Samaria. The Samaritans are open. They're looking. I want you to see something that she does, and it's really... He said, I perceive your prophet. Said, no, he says this. He said, our fathers worship on this mountain. And he said, you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where we ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me. He said, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor Jerusalem worship the Father. Now, the name of the town where they were at was Sukkar. At Sukkar, Mount Gizmo is the hill right behind the mountain, right behind him. That's where they're at. It's Jacob's Well's there, and it's a mountain behind him. And see, up there was a temple was made, but that temple was destroyed years ago. But they still went up there on that mountain to worship where that temple was. So they would go up there. And she says, well, look, they tell us on this mountain, the Jews say over there. Jesus is telling her there's a change coming. Your mountain don't count, and Jerusalem won't count. You need to understand this. Quit trying to do these people. But if I go so, oh, I'll tell you, I went over here. This is really the place to go worship. And boy, this is the place. Jesus said that. Are they going to be a pick spot? You worship God anywhere. You can worship God anywhere. People get goosebumps lots of times, and the things that they get out of going to places, all emotion. You know, if you told them there was a holy spot somewhere, there's people who run to the holy spot. I'll tell you what, I need a holy spot every day. Hallelujah. Because Jesus goes along and she says that. He said, you worship what you do not know. In other words, you don't have knowledge about the worship. He said, you're worshiping, but your knowledge is wrong. Your knowledge is wrong. I like it because you don't get offended. Well, you don't ever say that to religious people. My God, I'll tell you what. You can't get out of town fast enough. He said, we know. Now, he's speaking to the Jews. We know worship for salvations of the Jews. That was quite a statement to make to her. But he says this, but the hour's coming and now is when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. In other words, he pulls her right into the worship thing of, hold it. See, right now, this is how the system runs. The Jews got it over here. But the new system, everybody's in. See, he didn't leave her hanging out there and say, yeah, you got to get over there with them boys and get down there and worship. He didn't send her down there. He never even told her to get down there to Jerusalem to worship the temple. Wow, you know, never them heathens? Well, did he? He don't tell her to. He don't tell her to get on worship. We got all over. He says, then he said, why this? God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. He gives her a revelation that Nicodemus didn't know. We worship God from our spirits. And truth. Well, what's the truth? The word's truth. Jesus said to him in John 17, my word is truth. So in line with the word and in spirit, he didn't say just the word. The word becomes legalism without the spirit. It loses its life. It does. The spirit's what gives life to the word of God. The spirit keeps pointing you to Jesus. The true word. You can't get keep point to Jesus and you feel condemned. That ain't happening. You see, and so he gave her a truth. Now listen, the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming who's called Christ. He said, when he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Jesus revealed himself. You read scriptures, read Jesus' ministry. He didn't reveal himself as a Messiah to very many people. And he goes in to this place here where the Jews don't have anything to say, and he says to this woman, I'm the Messiah. She bought it. If we go on to read, she went back into town, told everybody, and brought him out. And Jesus had a healing ministry. You see, he's dealing with a person who's she's open. One of the things that I really love about what she said was this. She knew her need of knowledge. She said, when Jesus told her that she didn't know, she said, well, when the Messiah comes, he'll clear this. He'll teach us this whole thing, clear it up. She knew her need. This is where a lot of people have a lot of trouble. See, in salvation is near to her. She knew her need. Deliverance for us, everything is always near to you when you know your need. You see, I got born again because the Spirit showed me my need. It showed me my need. That I was sending my family off to hell. He showed me my need. And you know what I did? I recognized my need. See, if you think you're all right spiritually, you ain't going to get revelation because you're not looking for it. You think you got it. See, she understood her need. She didn't get offended at him, what he said. She said, but look, when the Messiah comes, it's all get cleared up. She knew she needed something. They needed some things. The Messiah specifically came to Israel and they killed him. They knew he was a teacher sent from God, but we're going to kill you anyhow. You're knocking the system and we're in charge. Our system's more important than your life. This is what religion does. See, people don't, we might not pay people out and kill them today, but spiritually they're doing it. Is the lack. See, we need to, I get tired of hearing ministers when they talk about America like we're God's sliced bread to the world. Get a little humble and shut up. We've sent the world more garbage and even Christian garbage. We need to stop and say, hey, hold it. Let's put the brakes. We need the Messiah. If anything I need to know is the Messiah. Anything I need to be taught is from the Messiah. I need to know him. We need wisdom and understanding. And see, this is about salvation. See, these principles were to bring somebody to salvation. The spiritual need of the man. See, when you understand what your need isn't more physical money. Your need isn't a better house. Your need, if you can get, God can get a hold of your spirit, you can get anything you need. This is why most people don't get, we've made money given a physical thing and all the time. And that's why it's just about getting the stuff and getting, no. If you get a man rich on the inside, you can't keep him poor on the outside. It's about becoming on the inside. I'm not trying to get money. I'll tell you what, it'll come to me. Why? My spirit can bring to me anything that I need or want and desire. If I follow the word, if I follow the Messiah and his teaching, hallelujah. I can say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast. I can call what I want to me.
Amen.
That comes from your spirit. It don't come from your wallet. It don't come from your checkbook. Amen. What it is people are supposed to understand is, my checkbook is tied to my spirit, amen, not to my need. We need to understand this. The need met is not a hard thing to get if you understand spiritual things. And if you understand spirit, you can get a hold of things. Hallelujah. See, you get a hold of this thing. Why am I giving? Because, man, I'm so free on the inside. Money don't own me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. I mean, hallelujah. I got life on the inside. I got the best insurance policy there ever was. Hallelujah. You can't buy one, the one I got. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was paid for by somebody else. Hallelujah. But I get the benefit of it.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. I don't know. I'm so glad I got to go through this teaching. This, I've been going over these two folks for a long time because they bring light and life to you. And God wants you free.
Amen.
He wants you in free. He wants you to enjoy life. He's not telling you nothing bad's going to happen or anything's going on, but I'm going to tell you, you can go through anything. You can go in through anything with the Lord. You can go through it and you can go through it with victory. Hallelujah. So many people looking ahead, well, what's going to happen ahead? Well, the Bible does tell us what's happened ahead, but there's some of that it ain't going through, you know?
That's right.
Hallelujah. It's destined, but we need to understand this. In the world, there's trouble. You're not weird that you have trouble. You'd be weird if you didn't. Because you'd not be of this world. If you want to get out of no trouble, there's a place you can go to. Hallelujah. But you can't stay here and go there. You know? Hallelujah. Praise God. See, I'm still on stuck here because the Lord said I have things to do. There's things I need to teach. There's things that need to come out. You know, everything that I teach ain't for you. There's things that I speak and say has to do with changing things in the realm of the Spirit. The words need to get spoken. See, there's things you need to learn to get on your mouth that doesn't have to do with you right now, but you need to learn to speak things out. God will give you things to speak out and say. They'll change things in the realm of the Spirit. The prophets said a lot of things they didn't pay attention to, but it changed our future. They set things, they spoke as the Spirit of God. It wasn't just all for people. It was to set things to the future that were spoken. See, we know a little bit of, we don't know much about this stuff today. We don't, because we've been tied too much to the natural side of things. Things that need to be, it's just like praying. Sometimes praying out doesn't have, I know this, I get praying over the Spirit, and I know it doesn't have to do with right. I'm speaking things out to change things in the realm of the Spirit. I'm speaking things out to change things in the realm. It doesn't have specifically with it. Oh, the blessing will come from, but it is to change things. If things don't get changed in the realm of the Spirit, if you didn't get your spirit changed, you didn't get nothing.
That's right.
We're always trying to change the natural, change the natural. You get the spirit realm changed, and it becomes easier to fix it on this side. We struggle at the natural because of lack of spirituality. No. See, God puts things in you. Let me tell you. I go out and walk every day. 6 days a week I go out and I do like a 3.5 mile real fast. I burn along fast walk. I walk fast. The whole time I meditate, I am amazed how many times the Spirit brings it. I start speaking out stuff while I'm walking around. All of a sudden things will come to me. Man, I tell you what, I can get prophesying pretty good while I'm out there walking and doing things. Why I say, and I realize that God has been setting things in order, saying things, you're walking and doing this stuff. See, we become tied over the natural. You know what? See, we're too quiet. Oh, we'll say anything in the natural and blab it out all the time. Spiritual things, we're so darn cautious. You know, see, I get out by myself there walking. See, I like that. I got it by myself. I just get over there and I can just blurt it out. While I'm walking, I'll talk it out. I'll get out there and I'm doing it. I'll say it. And see, you say things and I'll tell you what, and you know what? My mind goes, does that make sense what you just said? Oh, your mind's sort of going because your mind's trying to reason. My inside's happy. The inside's happy. Hallelujah. Because the inner man and the Holy Ghost are working together in there. Hallelujah. And they're saying things. See, can God get past your brain? I hope so. They ain't so good. I'm serious. If he can go only as far as Ed's mind, Ed's in trouble. Because you're limited in the natural. You're limited in the natural. But you're unlimited in the Spirit. If I can tie my tongue to this guy on the inside, oh my, my, my. If I can say what he wants to say, oh my, my. Hallelujah. See, we're going to take communion. Now folks, in taking communion, this is to remind us who and what we are. This is a spiritual thing. This is not natural. Get out of your natural. Get out of here. This isn't something. The elements, just like Jesus made statements about things that were natural that meant spiritual. See, there's all kind of people tied to the wine and bread, you know. I was in a church and they said, we had communions having a meal together and eating. No, it is not. It's all natural stuff. Oh, this is our fellowship. This is how we fellowship. No, I'm going to tell you, if you ain't got it with between each other on the inside, the outside ain't nothing but fluff. Real unity is on the inside. See, that's what John said. Our fellowship is truly with the Father and with His Son. See, Christian fellowship is first of all, are you really hooked up to the Father and Son? The body of Christ can know why it ain't working well together. Because people ain't hooked up to the Father and the Son. Truly our fellowship. Because why, you know, you get truly hooked up to the right fellowship, everything goes out from there. Hallelujah. See, we can fellowship. Glory to God. It's one thing is if you and I can't fellowship around together with Jesus Christ and the Father, we got a messed up Christianity. That's all I got to say. The church has to unite. The church keeps trying to put people out instead of taking them in. You know, you don't believe like I do, you probably ain't going to heaven. Not sure, I tell you. you don't get baptized in water like I say, and you know, you ain't going to make it. No, the church ain't divided. God don't divide the church. Hallelujah. He's bringing them in together. Whether people are filled with the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, they believe in Jesus Christ, they're my brother and sister. That's just the bottom line. They're saved, they're a child of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And you're going to see them in heaven whether you're mad at them or not. So get on. best love them here. You know, there's some people you can get things across to, some you can't. Hallelujah. But if they're believing on Jesus, they might seem pretty lame and lazy, but I'm going to tell you what, if they turn their heart and they're born again, you're going to see them in heaven. They might live pretty dumb down here. They might live on the bottom of spirituality. But salvation ain't by works. Try to get that out of the church. It's a hard thing in many places. Hallelujah. You're going to make it if you believe what I said. We're in trouble. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to thank you today. Lord, we're going to come to these elements, and I want to thank you. These elements are a reminder of the life of God that's working mightily in us. It is a reminder of our glorious Lord and Savior, what He has done for us, His great victory over hell and death that gave us life through faith. Lord God, we got the treasure of treasures, and all we had to do is believe on the guy who dug up the treasure. Hallelujah. What a Savior we have. As we take these elements, I thank you, Lord God, the reminder to us of that life, and it quickens that life. Because, Lord God, we want it to bring into our minds. We want it to bring it so it's clear to us in our thoughts. Hallelujah. Of the glory of our Master, Jesus Christ, and all that He's accomplished and done. And we are part of. Father, today reminds us of the place that we sit. Hallelujah. In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It reminds us, hallelujah, of the victory of Jesus Christ in the past that gives us a glorious future. Hallelujah. Father God, it reminds us, Lord God, to look over all the things and the troubles of this world. Hallelujah. Past it, that we've been made more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That, hallelujah. He's made us the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Hallelujah. He's blessed us in every spiritual blessing, coming in, going out, no matter what. Hallelujah. These are the reminders, and we want to thank you, Father. We take them, these simple things, natural things that you get, but Lord God, what they mean to us spiritually, hallelujah, is the greatest revelation of heaven. Hallelujah. And we say thank you for it all, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.